It's better over here.
After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
Get used to it all day long. Everybody,
fire up chips. Let's go. Good morning. Jim Costa with John Jansen, Heather Park, Gov, and Greg behind the glass. It's a sad season in Mount Pleasant, but last night they
can't
beat
be a
Western
sad season.
Michigan. Yes. What?
Can't be a sad season.
Oh, it's a sad season. They're not going to make a bowl game.
You just beat your biggest rival. Well, first time since 21. First time at home in 14 years.
I was going to say, it doesn't make up for the whole season, but that's a fun night. A long overdue victory against Western Michigan. And the victory cannon
comes
home.
Getting it done.
Let's not get carried away. He's already needling me this morning. Hey, extension on the table for Jim McElwain.
Yeah, you never know.
You pointed out to me one of the great football oddities from last night's game.
Unbelievable. Watching that game, obviously Central Michigan receives the ball in the second half. They possess it for about, 4 minutes? Then they throw a pick six. Yep. Oh, no, it's going to fall apart. Then they possess the ball for the rest of the third quarter up until about 30 seconds into the fourth. Western Michigan did not run an offensive play in the third quarter. Their offense did not take the field in the third quarter. I don't know that I have ever seen that before in my football life.
Suffocating football, John, is what it is. You totally planned to throw a pick six and they possessed the ball. But 15 minutes to 0 minutes TOP in the third quarter. I think the TV announcers pointed out that it had been over an hour of real time.
It was 63 minutes.
Since Western Michigan's offense
Don't ask me why I know that stat.
I was going to say, you're more dialed in than this than I am. Listen, it's two bad teams, but you're right. It's the first time that they've won against Western in Mount Pleasant since 2010. I hadn't even attended CMU the last time it happened. You know what I mean? Like, I went there, I root for my team, I watched all the games, and I had never seen that. My team beat Western Michigan, our biggest rivals, at Kelly Short Stadium. And it was in front of dozens on a Tuesday night.
And to think you could have been there.
I did think about that as I
could have been there, but you bailed. It's like going to the bathroom in the first inning.
I'll never let that go. I did think about it when I went to sleep last night that we nearly went to that game. I went to the last home meeting between these two teams, the snowy game.
Yeah, I remember you posting that.
Yeah,
one.
The people building snowmen in the stands and you couldn't read the yard markers. It was a 12-10 ugly football game. Kind of a fun game, but a loss. This is fun and a win. 2 points, don't care, got it done, chips win. Victory cannon, John, one of the great trophies in all of college sports.
Is that like a desktop trophy or is it a big-ass cannon?
Oh, it's one of the big cannons.
Yeah?
Yeah.
You're holding your hands up like you can hold the trophy. Well,
someone can hold it, yes.
Oh, okay, yeah.
But so, like when you think a desk, I'm thinking like a...
Oh, no, I'm like, okay, would it be the
like
size of... No, could it fit on
the desk here?
Like it's not an actual cannon?
No, John.
Okay, I don't know. I'm asking these questions from the expert in the rivalry, even though you haven't had it very often.
Yes. A working cannon.
A working cannon,
Is that a working cannon? Although both schools have cannons on game day that they shoot off when they score. Yeah.
Life in the Mac. Shoot off when you score.
So there you go. I'm in a good mood today. We got a fun show today. We're not going to break down Mac football for 4 hours, but it does put me in a good mood, and it's long overdue for CMU to beat Western. John, we have Sherrone Moore later in the show, 7:35. Mm-hmm. Michigan chasing a bowl game. Get his thoughts as they finish up the home slate this week before Ohio State next week. We'll check in with Sherrone Moore in the 7 o'clock hour. College football playoff rankings came out last night. We are going to go deep dive at 6:50. There's a lot of hyperventilating in the sport. How could they? What if this happens? We'll talk about the rankings and the ramifications coming up at 6:50. Your rankings in the National Football League at 6:35.
I'm very curious your take on my rankings because there's a couple that I'm sure that you will disagree with.
Well, that's typically what happens on Wednesdays. Yes. Yep. But you'll go through the power surge, and I think there's some fun questions. Do the Bills go ahead of the Chiefs? Are the Steelers in the top five? What's the deal with Baltimore? Among other storylines. Everybody knows the Lions are number one. You've had the Lions number one for weeks.
I have to keep my sheet turned over so you don't cheat.
Peek over here.
Oh, yeah. Well, it'll be interesting.
One other thing from last night. A.J. Hinch did not win Manager of the Year. Not only that, John.
Yeah.
He didn't finish runner-up for Manager of the Year. Our guy finished third.
Would he have one actual vote for Manager of the Year?
One guy with a brain.
I'm wondering if there are some in the baseball elite that are upset with how he did it.
Meaning,
you know, they don't want how he used the pitching staff, the group effort days to become more norm in Major League Baseball. Now, I don't know that you can win like that on a regular basis. I mean, he obviously did throughout the second half of the season.
But even he was acknowledging like this was...
Yeah, it's probably not sustainable, but is there any backlash to how he did it? As to, well, you know, hey, nice job. We'll give you... somebody will vote for you, just not the majority of us.
Yeah.
Because getting to the playoffs, most people believe the Guardians were a playoff team when the season began. Most people looked at the investment that Kansas City made and thought they're going to be better. Nobody looked at the Tigers and said, there's a wild card team, let alone a playoff team, or let alone winning a playoff series. I just feel like the job that he done is undervalued.
He got the most out of his team. To me, that's what the Manager of the Year is about. Right. The guy who gets the most out of what he's given. Is it a surprise to me that Cleveland won the AL Central? No, and that's not to take away from Stephen Vogt. Still had to get them there.
Sure.
But for A.J. Hinch to get them there involved 2 months with, what, a one-man rotation?
Yeah.
One and a half-man rotation?
Waving a magical wand.
They had 11 rookies. They had a one-man rotation. They went on a magical 50-year run to make the playoffs. To me, what the Tigers did was a reflection of A.J. Hinch. More than any other manager, he did more with less.
And if you put A.J. on the Guardians, do they do any better or do they still make the playoffs?
They make the playoffs. They may win a couple extra games.
Yeah.
I think he's a really good manager.
If they put Vogt on the Tigers, do the Tigers make the playoffs?
They do not.
I mean, it just...
And to finish third, by the way.
It's kind of a ridiculous exercise to, you know, say, you know, what if this guy was here, that guy was there. But I just think it goes to what AJ was able to do with this roster. I mean, think about it. Two of the headliners that were supposed to be headliners spent time at AAA. And is the highest paid player was the biggest black hole of the team.
Yeah. They won a playoff series with, what, like a $17 million roster?
Yeah, I mean, we all went through that exercise of the starting pitcher. His yearly salary was more than the combined salaries for the entire lineup for the Detroit Tigers.
Yeah, he shepherded a bunch of young players, put them in positions to succeed. It took the platooning thing to the extreme, the bullpen stuff to the extreme. It put a lot on him to find the right matchup every single day. 5 days, 6 days in a week. Here's your off day to rest the entire bullpen to juggle all of these arms. And he did a great job. And that's not to take away from Chris Fetter, but Hinch had to manage the lineup with all these young players in platooning and had to navigate the pitching staff on a macro level for not a week, not a month, but basically 2 months at the end of the season. And they didn't just survive, they were thriving. Now, to me, he was the Manager of the Year. And it's one thing if you say, okay, Vogt, they won the division. To some writers, that was more meaningful. How does he finish third? Like, that's the thing I really can't get over. How does he finish third? And we had a ticket texter bring something up, John, right away.
Okay.
And I want to know if you think there's anything to this. Hinch losing Manager of the Year because the baseball elites are spiteful. They're still holding cheating in Houston against him. That's from Tyler.
Yeah, I mean, I think he did his time. There are probably some, how much of it is the same people? We're not going to let Bonds into the Hall of Fame. We're not going to allow McGuire into the Hall of Fame. A lot of the same voters are probably looking at, I think that's a great point. I thought it was just going to be, well, I mean, he's changing baseball, not in a way that we like, so we're not going to vote for him.
No, we're getting a lot of these. Complete BS. They're holding the cheating scandal in Houston against him. Let's be honest here. Baseball snobs are getting retribution for Houston. Another texter, Kevin says, this one says, is Houston scandals being held against him, from an unnamed texter. Stephen Farmington says that he actually does get this. He says the Guardians were not supposed to do this with the first-year manager. Vogt did a good job.
Okay, we're not saying, I mean, when you start to argue the top three managers, top four or five managers in Major League Baseball, it sounds like you're degrading a job that another guy did. Stephen Vogt did a great job. First year manager, and, you know, but he inherited something very, I mean, it's very much like Urban Meyer being inserted at Ohio State. Like, he inherited a really good team. Now, I don't think anybody looked at it and said, you know, Urban Meyer's not a very good coach. He was an outstanding coach.
You're arguing three managers that went to the Final Four here, you know, and not one of them was expected to be there. So the cases can be made. I mean, I don't think from afar people, and even I'll call it the baseball elites, realize completely what A.J. Hinch did.
Agreed with that. I don't think they fully understand the scope of just how dead the Tigers were trading at the deadline, and just how unorthodox it was, not only that they won, but the way they won at the end of the season.
But a season is 162 games, and the Guardians started unbelievably.
Sure.
And that has to be counted, too.
But do you just give it to the team that wins the most games?
No, I'm not saying that.
Because the Guardians won the most games in the division. But my point would be, I don't care that they had a better season than the Tigers. The job is about the managerial aspect of it.
At one point, they were playing nearly 700 baseball earlier in the year. So, you know, they kind of went through a swoon and stuff. How's that any different than the Tigers being 55 and 63? You know, there's value. Look, you're arguing. I think it's a fair argument. I'm not upset. I think AJ should have finished second.
Yeah.
I don't get that part of it, but whatever.
Anyway, we're going to get to John's power surge coming up at 6:35. The hyperventilating in the college rankings and changes that people already want to see before we've even finished year one of the 12-team playoff. But coming up next, we mentioned the Tigers. They've got a big addition for this season. We'll tell you about it next, 97.1.
Hey, when it comes to managing your finances, you need a bank that gets you and is genuinely interested in your success. That's why I bank, and that's why I think so much of First Merchants Bank. So many different things that I've been able to do with them. I've done business banking, also my day-to-day personal banking, and they've been there with me every single step of the way to help guide me through all of the processes. First Merchants Bankers are attentive. They're going to be there to ask you questions and get to know you as best they can so that they can as well fit a solution to what specific needs that you have and build a financial plan. And when you make the switch to First Merchants Bank, you're also going to get access to their highly rated mobile banking app with innovative personal finance tools. Plus, they're deeply connected to the community's needs because it's their community as well. They volunteer and donate to local causes on a regular basis to ensure that we all prosper together. This is the difference of a 100% interest in you. For a better banking experience, visit firstmerchants.com. That's firstmerchants.com. First Merchants Bank, helping you prosper. Member FDIC, equal housing lender.
A lot of feedback on A.J. Hinch not winning manager of the year, not even finishing as the runner-up. Want to read a couple quick ticket texts, and then we'll get to the new Tigers offseason edition. Big news. Texter says, I do think people can hold the cheating scandal against A.J. Hinch. Why wouldn't you? Just because he's the Tigers manager? Well, I don't know why anything he did in Houston would play into whether or not he was the best manager this season, John. I don't know why that should come up at all. I understand that people can't let it go nationally.
Sure.
I don't know why it should matter at all for deciding the 2024 manager of the year in Major League Baseball.
Are people not allowed second chances either?
Right.
I mean, he you know, paid for his crime, you know, that was alleged, and now he has been given a second opportunity, and it's not like this is the first year that he's been managing in Detroit.
Texter says, it seems like manager of the year is always given to the candidate that has the least expected performance, which would be Hinch. Hinch's success in Houston set him back here. Kevin in Macomb. We talked through it.
Yeah.
Offseason additions, John.
Oh, it's free agency. What do they got?
The Tigers have announced premium seating will be taken to the next level. The Home Plate Club will feature cutting-edge luxury seats with both heating and cooling technology. That's right. We're talking about ass cooling technology at Comerica Park this season. 21% wider seats, John, for only the richest of the rich. They will be able to watch and take in Tiger baseball in luxury this season.
Well, we don't know what it's going to cost.
I'm going to guess more.
Oh, yes. Yeah,
there's a private entrance.
Sure.
Yeah, like that's going to cost you more.
Oh, sure, it's going to cost you more. I know, but this guy here is
VIP
acting
parking.
Like it's only going to be billionaire seating.
Well,
it's definitely not for the common man or woman.
Built-in cup holders, wider armrest. These are elite seats for the Tigers Home Plate Club.
I think it's cool.
Oh, it's awesome.
Yeah,
it's
I think
awesome.
It's super cool.
Yeah.
And I think there, you know, whoever gets a chance to sit there, because it's obviously right behind home plate.
Yeah.
And you're going to get a great view of the game. You're going to get some great amenities. And it's cool.
All right, I'm not going to bite my tongue. Give me 21% increase on the talent on the team.
Yes, when you
announce this before any major marquee free agents, it comes across as tone deaf. I have no issue with them.
Let me ask you this.
Let me finish. I have no issue with them upgrading things like the showers and the planes and the ballpark. These are things that major league teams should invest in. But it's tone deaf when it's not even finished to put this out when you know the reaction is going to be, how about you invest in the product? How about you put players on the team? You don't have to announce this today. You could announce it in January or February after you've given the fans something to go to the ballpark and be excited about.
Heather, would you like to go? Or were we allowed to speak now?
Well, you're going to cut me off. I wanted to finish the point.
Okay. All right.
You can talk, John.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah. The floor is yours.
The floor is What free agent has been signed?
None.
Okay. So, I mean, it's not like other players are signing. We don't know what they're going to do in the offseason. And yes, we have heard from Scott Harris. We've discussed it. I have no issue with the timing of this. It came out in June that this was the plans. And had they done anything yet? No. In fact, they were one of the worst. They were one of the most frustrating teams in all of baseball. They were a boring team to watch. And then they go on a run. I'm not saying that the announcement led to the run, but who cares when they announce this? If they announced it now or if they announced it in January, it's...
John, you don't think timing plays a role in public relations?
Oh, I think it plays a huge role in this.
I just
don't think that there's any major issue with when they announce this.
You want me to read the comments?
Please do.
How about some premium players?
Okay.
Pretty cool, but when are we going to add a legit bat or two? Can the seats hit? I mean, this is from their customer base. They put this out. It was tone deaf. People have validated what I said immediately.
Three of them have.
John, there's... Well, you know, we're going to spend the next 4 hours reading Twitter comments. Here we go.
I mean, I don't know why we have to jump down their throats when they're making an improvement to the stadium. It's not going to have a bearing. Do you think that this is it's an either or? They're going to do this or spend on free agency, and if they're not going to spend on free agency, then they're going to do the seats? No. This is different. This is an opportunity for them to upgrade the stadium, which they have done a couple of times since Comerica was built, and now they're just making this announcement. I'm just not going to jump down their throats for not having signed a free agent. No one has signed free agents.
I'm not, John, I didn't say they're not going to. I'm not mad that they have not yet.
You're just mad that they did this before they signed a free agent. Sign a free agent and then make the announcement. That makes it all better.
You're announcing ways to charge more for your fans.
For a very select few.
You're announcing investments in facilities and not players. And your priorities seem out of whack when that is the way you front face announce things to the public. Is this where the Scoobal extension money is going to go? Y'all will spend anything on anything except players. Is this why Scoobal didn't get a serious deal? Hey, Chris, how about spending money on Scoobal? Spend some money on the team. I can keep going. Like,
sure.
This is what people take from
it. I want them to spend on the team, too. I'm just not going to jump down their throats about the timing of it.
All right, let's get to Heather's news.
Oh, boy. Well, a possible gas explosion rocked a Lake Orion condo complex on Tuesday night, sending two people to the hospital with critical injuries. The explosion happened right around 6:30 p.m. at this condo complex in the area of Walden and Baldwin Roads. And the Orion Township Fire Chief says that the explosion leveled one building, caused significant damages to a neighboring building, while two to three others sustained minor damages. Two people were taken to the hospital, like I said, in critical condition. Several others were treated there for minor injuries. The exact cause of the explosion is not immediately known, but it does appear to have been caused by a gas leak. That's what it's believed. There's a neighbor who was in the area who says they heard this loud boom and everything popped off the walls, she said. Wow. And she then kind of ran outside because she could hear other neighbors screaming, which was terrifying to experience. She said she immediately saw that the corner unit was just flattened. So she ran back inside. She did go to check on her elderly neighbor, make sure that person was okay, but then ran back inside, got some important documents, got in the car and got out of there, because that would be terrifying to experience. And hopefully the people who are injured are going to be okay. So the Detroit Tigers announced on Tuesday, not that they're building these new premium seats, right, that they will have reached a new TV broadcast deal. So they will remain on FanDuel Sports Networks for all in-market games. So that means FanDuel Sports Detroit will have all games that aren't selected exclusively by national networks. That's like ESPN, Fox, Apple TV. FanDuel Sports Detroit will also broadcast pre- and post-game shows for the Tigers. And fans, of course, can still watch on the app if that's a way they'd like to view. Now, they did say they will not be offering those single game Makes purchasing sense. Options like they're doing for the NHL and NBA games.
Too many games.
It's a lot.
I mean, you have to discount them severely. I understand that.
Yeah. I'm going to tell you a little bit more about this home plate club, because on top of this TV deal, they did go into some more details that we just talked about as well. So it's going to be these premium seats, right? They did back in June make this announcement. They didn't go into all the details about the heating and cooling of these seats, but that is pretty sweet.
They
said that several sections of seats in the club will feature this quick touch heating and cooling climate technology, meaning that fans can enjoy the seats either warmer or colder, depending obviously on the weather outside. The home plate club will include a new space built beneath the stands that will have a private entrance to the seats, which is pretty sweet. Yeah. It will include VIP parking, all-inclusive food and beverage, and in-seat service and more. Now, there's other upgrades coming to the park as well than just the home plate club. In the next season, there's going to be new loge boxes located on the lower level between the bases. They will also have access to the home plate club and all the same benefits, but will offer a semi-private luxury seating and game viewing experience with a privacy wall partially enclosing the seats. So,
you and Kelsey going to get a package?
No.
I mean, at least they compete and make the playoffs.
They might win a game.
It'd be nice.
You're there.
Not get outscored by three or more.
Cool your ass down a little bit.
Exactly. No kidding. No kidding.
Maybe you could do a handstand on it. Put your head there. Cool your head just a little bit. Oh, it's, poking the cat sometimes is just too easy to do.
It's Heather with the news. John, floor is yours. Rank the NFL's best. It's 97.1. Most teams try. All right, John, a lot of movement, a lot of big games last weekend in the NFL. Let's hit it. Your best teams.
Well, there are some new teams that are creeping into the fringe of the power surge. As some teams start to figure some things out, other teams, whether it's due to injury, it's due to player performance, coaching performance, start to fall by the wayside. Now, at week 12, we have a much clearer picture of what we think these teams are and what they will be as we approach the postseason. And so this is, I just like want to remind you and everyone else, this is a snapshot in time. This is not a predictor of who will be the Super Bowl champs, who will match up in the Super Bowl. This is just the best teams, as we know it now, in week 12. So some of those teams, just to recap, I'll tell you what. Let's do this. Last week, Detroit, number one. Kansas City, two. Baltimore, three. Buffalo, four. Philly, five. And Pittsburgh, six. Now, we know that Kansas City lost. We know that Baltimore lost. Philly won. Pittsburgh won. And so that's where we're left with figuring out where we are now. Now, in regards to some of those teams that are starting to show up, how about the Denver Broncos? The Denver Broncos quietly are becoming one of the teams. I don't know that they ultimately make the playoffs, but in a very tough division, they are one and a half games behind the Chargers, who we've talked about before, and obviously the division-leading Kansas City Chiefs. So keep an eye on Denver. As Bo Nix starts to become more comfortable, Sean Payton gets a little bit more comfortable calling an offense for him. Arizona. You know, don't count them out, sure, because they are leading the NFC West. Now, bad division, the Rams, the Seahawks, and the Niners are all 5-5, and the Niners are a team that we're just keeping an eye on right now. They're kind of a cute little story, 1-3 in division. They're on the outside, obviously, looking in. Houston, getting Nico Collins back, that's a big get back for him. Now, the first play from scrimmage, ends up going about 65 yards, called back because Laremy Tunsil downfield. Cheap call, but the right call. The Chargers as well. Monday night, we watched them. 7-3 now. J.K. Dobbins, was it 19 seconds left, and he goes for 35 yards for the touchdown, for the win.
You see Jim Harbaugh's got him singing in the locker room for He's a Jolly Good Fellow. Like, these are grown men. Like, the Harbaugh effect is real. He gets that buy-in early from these guys.
Yes.
It's silly, John, but like it's camaraderie, no, right?
Yes, yes. We'll move on.
I feel like you had more to say there.
Washington, you know, another team there that lost to the Eagles. They've lost two in a row right now, and I'm curious as to how they will recover.
Yeah.
Daniels, their quarterback. They've got the Cowboys and the Titans and the Saints. Three games where they should get back on track, learn from losses to really good teams. Steelers, Eagles, they're going to be in the top six. I'm just going to give you the heads up right now. But it's an opportunity for them with Jaden Daniels to get back to what they do best, and that is a quarterback that can sling the ball around, throw the ball, but also defensively, they've proven that they're a little bit better. And they have three games before they face the Eagles again. That is a game on December the 22nd, the Sunday before Christmas, that I am highlighting as it could decide that division, and there's going to be a lot of playoff implications in that game. Minnesota, 8-2. What do you believe about Minnesota? What do you know and what do you feel about Minnesota? They're 8-2, yet I don't have them in my top six.
Yeah, it's so odd. They're a well-coached team. I feel like they've overachieved at this point. I think the Darnold thing, he had a bounce-back game this week, but had struggled the previous 2 weeks.
10 interceptions.
Yeah, I know, among the league leaders.
It's fourth right now. Yeah. There's three quarterbacks tied for three. One of those happens to be Patrick Mahomes. We'll talk about him in just a moment. But number six in the power surge. Lost to Pittsburgh, drops them down in the rankings. It is the Baltimore Ravens. Now, I still think that they're a good team. I'm just curious as to, like, when you think about the teams that they've lost to, they've lost to really good teams, but at some point you've got to beat some of those really good teams. They lost to the Chiefs to start the season, a tough bounce back game against the Raiders. That one's really stinging them. They lost to the Browns. Now, albeit on the road, a division opponent, not a great loss. Losing to the Steelers, that's a tough one. You look at their wins. Their best win, the really only good win, is against the Bills.
Yeah.
All right. But they have four losses, and we'll talk about Lamar Jackson and how it affects his MVP status a little bit later. Philly comes in at number five at 8-2. Now I look at Philly and I say, okay, you know, how do I feel about them? I think in the NFC, they're the number two team. They're the toughest competition for that one seed for the Detroit Lions. And they don't get a chance to play in the regular season head to head. So it's going to be common opponents. It's going to be how do we gauge them? Philly is a team to me with Saquon Barkley, that offensive line, while healthy, and a defense that they have been very judicious in how they've used some of their veteran players. preserving them for the biggest moments, preserving them for week 16, 17, and the playoff stretch. So they come in at number five. Pittsburgh, big jump for them. Last week I had them at six. They jump up to four with a big win over Baltimore. They made Lamar Jackson look very average. There's a lot of factors in that game, but being able to limit Lamar Jackson, and it raises the question of what can they do against other offenses that are very potent. I'm curious how they would match up right now with the Detroit Lions. Kansas City comes in at three.
Ooh.
And it, again, snapshot in time. They are clearly one of the top three teams in the NFL, but losing to Buffalo, I can't at this moment say, yeah, you know, Buffalo should be three, Kansas City two. So Kansas City comes in at two. Buffalo obviously comes in at three with that big win over Kansas City. Josh Allen, a phenomenal performance. And we talk about Coach of the Year. That might be Coach of the Year situation there in Buffalo. Still has a chance to play itself out. Detroit obviously comes in at number one. They did nothing to make you think that they would drop down. They right now are playing and are perceived by many as the best team in the NFL. Certainly are by me.
So the things I was most interested to see, again, your order, Lions 1, Bills 2, Kansas City 3, Pittsburgh, Philadelphia, and Baltimore round out the six teams in the power surge. I wonder how far Kansas City would fall. I like that you put them behind Buffalo. You have to respect what just happened this week. You really do have to start picking apart KC, though, at this point. They are not winning games handily this season. They're eking out some ugly ones. They're ninth in the NFL in point differential. Now, you give them credit for winning, which is why I think it's a delicate dance at this point. But I think after they lose a game, you start to poke holes in them a little more now.
Here's one thing I want to see. They found, Patrick Mahomes found Xavier Worthy a little bit more this past weekend, and he's a rookie wide receiver. He's fast. He's only going to get better. I think he is made much better by having DeAndre Hopkins. And as they figure out the combination of those two, how to use them and when to use them, I think they're only going to get better. But you've got to be able to do it now.
So I don't have an issue. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. I think the Ravens is a real conversation. Should you have left them out?
Well, I went through that exercise. It's a four-loss team. And I've got Minnesota, who's 8-2. I've got Green Bay. I didn't even talk about them. They're 7-3.
Yeah.
Houston at 7-4. You know, I mean, there's the Chargers, obviously, at 7-3. I mean, I think Lamar Jackson, and I mean, if there was only a chance for us to see Baltimore and the Chargers play.
Monday night, right. Harbaugh's head-to-head Thanksgiving week.
I mean, this again, snapshot in time, and obviously that will play a factor into next week's power surge.
Mine would be Lions, Bills, Chiefs. I would go Eagles and then Steelers, but man, that's like splitting hairs.
Yeah.
And then I would go the Chargers and Baltimore both at six.
You can't do two.
The NFL has ties.
Thank you, Stoney.
Yeah, and they play this week to determine it. So the NFL has ties.
Right. I've argued, you know what?
I've argued forever the league needs to get rid of ties, and I get shot down all the time. And then I tie something, and it's like, how dare you? You know, there's ties in the college football rankings.
Hey, then if you have a stance, stick with it.
So right now, that's what I'm doing. They play for it. Let's see it on the field.
No, you hate ties, so why would you put a tie in there?
Couple other things of note. We may be heading for the Steelers getting home field advantage in the AFC if the Chiefs lose again.
Chiefs play the Steelers on Christmas Day. That game's suddenly a huge deal for seeding.
The Steelers have the tiebreaker right now over the Bills. So when the Bills have their bye, the Steelers will slot ahead of them because of conference standings.
Well, think about it.
The AFC playoffs could go through the Steel City. They are they may be the most balanced team in football, okay? Seriously, and that's, I know I'm including the Lions that, but in terms of offense, running, passing, and then their defense, they slowed down one of the best offenses in the league, man. Yep. That wins in playoffs. I think they're for real.
It wins and it travels.
And that is this week's snapshot in time. This week's power surge, it's 97.1.
Hey, why not dive into the best pool in history, that Stadium Swim, and you can watch all of these great sporting events at a viewing experience built for sports fans located at Circa Resort and Casino. Six pools, three different levels. You've got cabanas. You've got day beds. You can make reservations. It's all right there, and it's so easy to do. I mentioned the massive 40-foot tall high-definition screen that you get a chance to watch the entire time. They've got swim-up bars, Insta-ready selfie walls. It's one nonstop party. Score your perfect game day spot with those cozy day beds, private cabanas that are already mentioned. It's all at the center of the action. It's 365 days of sports poolside, located at Circa Resort and Casino in downtown Las Vegas, and it's right there on Fremont Street. Stadium swim, all sports, all seasons. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
All right, last night, the college football rankings were revealed, and I've already seen some people hyperventilating about hypothetical arguments that could happen, and the system as a whole, John, do you see some flaws in it? We'll open up the phones, 248-539-9797. What did you take out of it?
I mean, it's still respect for some teams in regards to Indiana. They're still at number five. They didn't move it, and honestly, I mean, all five up front. Oregon, Ohio State, Texas, Penn State, Indiana. No movement. And rightfully so, Indiana didn't play. So they didn't move. Penn State, Texas, they all took care of business. And so now you're looking at Notre Dame moves up two from where they were, Alabama, Georgia back into it. And, I mean, the amount of vitriol that was spewed last week when Georgia was left out of the top 12. Mm-hmm. What were they at? They were 12, at 12.
But they wouldn't have been in the field. Yeah.
Right. They would have been out. That's it, because of, you know, the Boise State and the extra one that would be taken there. But now they don't have to worry about it. That's the thing about this is, if you just take care of things on the field, chances are everything will take care of itself in the end. The issue is going to be in the SEC, where you have six teams right now that are two-loss teams, or one loss. Obviously, yeah, Texas only has the one loss, but they're going to play Texas A&M. So, again, it will somewhat sort itself out, but what if Texas A&M beats Texas?
Logjam.
And you have another two-loss team. It's crazy. And here is where it's going. So, before I get to go where it's going, your takeaway on the new college football rankings.
A couple things. We had overreaction. Boise would get a bye. As of today, they would get a bye. Mm-hmm. The Big 12, just not good enough as a conference. Boise has a better resume today in the committee's eyes. So we did a little foreshadowing, and at least for today, that's true. I thought they did the best they could with the SEC issue right now, because it is an issue. This like head-to-head circle that they've mm-hmm. created. I think the SEC is ranked properly. Texas, the one-loss team, is the best of the bunch. I would tell you, because Alabama beat Georgia, they have to be ahead of Georgia. Because Ole Miss beat Georgia, they have to be ahead of Georgia. Well, what about Tennessee, who beat Alabama? The issue with Tennessee is they have a bad loss to Arkansas. They had no significant non-conference games. Someone has to be last of that group. And I think Tennessee at this point should be left out. I think they did the best they could with a messy situation. The other takeaway I had, and this is just pure Midwest bias.
Oh, yeah.
I love that all of the opening games of the playoff will be on Midwest college campus sites. Huh. So it'd be Ohio State, Notre Dame, Penn State, and Indiana would all be hosting teams in the opening round of the college football playoff if it ended today.
So let me ask you this question as to where this is going. Because there are some coaches in the SEC, Lane Kiffin came out and talked about it. We'll get to his quote in just a minute. Because there are so a logjam of two lost teams, we have no idea how far down the list of tiebreakers they're going to have to go to decide who plays in the SEC championship game. Whoever wins that gets that automatic bid. We'll talk about automatic bids in a minute. Yeah. Put a pin in that one. Whoever loses that, unless Texas runs the table, Texas loses in the SEC championship game, is going to have three losses. Is that an eliminator game for somebody that plays that 13th game?
The question is, do you get punished for playing in that game? And, right. And to me, I know it sounds lousy. If you get rewarded for winning, you should also be punished for losing. That's like sports at their purest. If you don't want to go to the conference title game to earn a bye, you can decline the invite. But I was under the impression that the SEC, it just meant more, and you'd do anything to play these games and win these games and the glory of it. And if you lose, I'm sorry, losing's bad. I'm sorry to put that in red letters for teams. Losing will get you punished.
But you get a win for not participating.
No, you get zero wins and zero losses if you don't participate.
But
you sit idle, you can't earn a bye.
If you are same as, or this team is deemed better for whatever reason in the tiebreaker, and you're at home not playing because your team was deemed not as good as the one playing in the SEC championship game,
right,
and then that team loses, how do you then prove that you are better?
So I think the issue then goes to the SEC to fix their conference. And if that means divisions to funnel into a better championship game, then so be it.
Well, I think I think that's one way to do it. And we all talked about we want to get rid of divisions, and then all of a sudden we get rid of divisions, but the SEC is now 16 teams, the Big Ten is now 18 teams, and there's no way, I don't know that there's going to be a season where it's a clear 1 through 18 in the Big Ten of easily ranked. It's kind of impossible. But this is what Lane Kiffin had to say about teams and coaches that he's talked to that may actually not want to play in the SEC championship game. I agree with them.
It's a big risk, sure.
It's a big risk. And so if you're just sitting at home, and as it sits after the final week of the regular season, after championship weekend, before championship weekend, the College Football Playoff Committee is going to come out with their most recent rankings. You are not in the mix for the College Football Playoffs. You're not in the top 12. So you sit at home and you think, oh, man, that's too bad. We're going to have to get ready for just an average bowl game. But then all of a sudden, let's just put Ole Miss in it, mm-hmm. since it's Lane Kiffin we're talking about, and they lose to Texas. And now all of a sudden, you're sitting at home going, wait a second.
We're Ole Tennessee, Miss has, and now we're in.
Ole Miss has three losses.
Yeah.
And we only have two, so we should be in.
Tennessee would be a real example to use here because they're currently out, and could they get in if someone loses the SEC title game?
And so there's... Everybody thinks, okay, getting the bye week by being an SEC champion or Big Ten champion, because those are only the really two conferences where you know they're going to get that bye. We all think the ACC probably will as well. But when you are not playing in that game, you get your bye week on championship weekend. You get a chance to get players healed up. And it's... So it's just really a matter of when you're choosing your bye. Is it the bye on the championship weekend, or you're going to play the championship weekend and ultimately earn that bye? Or if you lose, you're out. Like it doesn't make any sense.
So what's happening here is we get down to this, right? There's only a couple more ranking reveals until it's set. People are finding flaws in the 12-team system. Are you seeing these? Is there a flaw that bothers you as we try to chart this course for college football? 248-539-9797. What I heard from Lane Kiffin was a soft response. It was a crybaby response. The only way you're ever guaranteed a spot in the playoff is to win your conference. If you don't win your conference and you get left out, I will shed zero tears for the team that finishes third or fourth in their conference. I'm sorry, you had enough chances. You lost too many games. Better luck next year. It's a 12-team playoff. If you can't qualify for that, if you can't win your conference or even finish at the top of your conference, I have no sympathy for you.
But they are finishing at the top of their conference because they would be one of the top two teams playing for a conference championship game and then all of a sudden be bumped down to sixth, fifth.
Their issue is not with the playoff committee. Their issue is with their own conference. Their issue is with the conference's way of determining the best teams, not with the playoff committee.
I just don't think you should be penalized by if you're going into championship weekend as, let's just say they're ranked seven. And no one else is playing except you and your opponent. And you lose to a top-ranked opponent. You're talking about if chalk holds and you're looking at Texas being ranked third and you lose to them, you're losing to a higher-ranked team, yet now all of a sudden you're eliminated from the playoffs? To me, that makes no sense.
It would only happen in the world where you are so tightly compacted the way the SEC is this year, where you have, as you put it, potentially 6 2-loss teams. Well, if you had a chance to state your case and your case was stated that you weren't good enough, I think that should be factored in.
Well, I think there's one fix.
Well, let's get to it coming up next. And we'll get to one gripe that I have as well. Phone lines are open. It's 97.1.